Well, it is a miracle of what God does, and when we look around and we see, you wonder, how could it possibly come by chance? Just doesn't make sense. And the kids pick it up. It's great to dedicate it to children because the children pick it up so fast. And they begin to believe. Maybe that's why Jesus says, unless we become like little children. And they seem to understand, and they seem to be able to take faith and actually put it into practice. Sometimes they shame us adults. My grandson came in the other day to me here at camp and said, "Papa," he said, "I cut myself on a tree." He'd been trying to climb the tree, and the bark had gotten him, and he showed me his arm, and he had it cut clear across here from the bark, I suppose, of the tree. And he said, "I got the bleeding stopped." And he's young, he's only 8. And then he started, I said, "Well, you maybe ought to have him put something on it just so you don't get infection." And then he started to leave, and he walked back over, and he said, "Papa," he said, why don't we pray for it so that it'll heal fast, and nothing will happen. And let's just pray for it. Well, that's the faith of a child. We need that kind of faith to know that God will do those things, that God will take care of it, that God will answer, and they just believe, and we need to believe too. Our lesson this morning is going to be in the book of Joshua. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Joshua 6, and I'm going to tell you the story, but we're going to skip a bit through it as far as what we actually read. Let me give you the setting for it. The children of Israel have been promised the promised land, and they've come up to the edge of the promised land, and they're about now to enter the land. And all that land is before them. Right before he dies, God takes Moses up onto the top of the mountain and shows him all of the land that's going to be the children of Israel's. And God tells him, "I'm going to take you into the land, and it is going to be a land of milk and honey. It's wonderful land. It's going to be great, and I'm going to give it to you. And you're to go in now and take the land." And as they cross the Jordan River, you'll remember God with a great miraculous sign that probably reminded them of Egypt, remembering that all the older generation have died off, and all of the younger ones that are there now, at least 2/3 of the group, were never in Egypt, never saw the parting of the Red Sea. The only ones there would be the oldest group that were under the age of 20 or so at the time of their rebellion and when they would refuse to go into the land. And all the upper generations, everyone over that age of 20 has all died except for Caleb and Joshua. Even Moses is gone. So as a sign to them, God parts the water of the Jordan. They've heard the stories, and now here God shows them again. And they walk across on dry ground, and they come up against the city of Jericho. And that's kind of where we want to focus in a little bit this morning, is in Jericho. Because that's going to be the first place they've got to take as they begin to take the land. And as God lays out for them the taking of Jericho, you remember that God sent a man who met Joshua on the road. And Joshua asked him, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And he said that the Lord God has sent me to help lead you into the battle. And he explains to him what he's supposed to do. That they're to go and march around the city 7 times. And as they march around the city of Jericho, once each day they're to march around the city. They're not to do anything else other than that. And then the 7th day, something different will take place. And if you could just think about that for a moment, what an unusual battle plan that is. Whoever would develop something like that you just march around the city and you think you can take a walled city that way. That's never been done before. And there's a wonderful little scene if you ever watch the VeggieTales. Remember the VeggieTales, Joshua and the Great Wall? And there's a wonderful little scene there where those little French peas are standing up on the wall of the city of Jericho. They're part of the Jericho people, and they're watching them march around, and they sing that little song, keep marching down the road, keep marching down the road. It's plain to see your brains are very small. Keep marching, keep marching, keep marching around the wall. Well, that's probably what it had to seem like to the people of Jericho. How dumb are these people? But that's what God told him to do. And he told him something else as they were to go and take this city. And that is simply this, that the city of Jericho was to be dedicated to God as a first fruits. In other words, everything in Jericho was to be destroyed. Everything was to be torn down. They were not to inhabit that city. They were not to keep the things of that city. They were all to be devoted to God. It was an act of first fruits. Just like one of their harvests, one of the festivals they practice is when the first fruits of your harvest came. You brought those, gave them to the Lord, and it was an act of faith that you believed God would then give you the rest of the harvest and that you would have enough. So to show we believe God, they brought the first fruits and gave it to God. Understand? The tithe is that. Give the first 10% to the Lord, believing that God will provide enough in the other 9%, 90%, that you're going to have enough to live and survive and pay your bills and take care of everything. It's a faith thing. It's a first fruits. And Jericho is supposed to do that. We're going to give God this city, this walled city. That would be a valuable thing to have that protects the lower part of their territory from the across the Jordan and everything. Instead, they're to give it to God, believing that God then is going to give them the rest of the land. And they're going to have all the rest of this fortified cities, and they're going to have all the crops of those areas, but they got to give Jericho and everything in it to God. And so it's to be dedicated to God. And I'm going to pick up the reading there on the seventh day, as they've already marched around the city six times. And now we come to chapter 6, verse 16. Listen carefully. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Only spare Rahab the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you'll make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are to be sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family, and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men. Joshua had sent his spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. We're going to stop there with the reading. They did what the Lord said. They took the city. Rahab was to be spared because she had acted for the people of God, had hidden their spies and helped them escape when they came to spy out the city. And so she and everyone that was in her house was to be spared, and she was spared. And just as a side story, she here is outside the camp, but they made their dwelling with the people of God. She ended up marrying one of the men. She had a son. His name was Boaz. You know the story of Ruth. Boaz had a son named Obed. He had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, the king. She becomes part of the people of God. She's spared in the city, but every else in the thing in the city had to be destroyed. Everything else had to be devoted to the Lord. He gave them the city. They didn't have to do anything but march around and shout, and the battle belonged to the Lord. And he gave them the city by tearing down the walls. And they, as Joshua said, they obeyed and they destroyed everything in the city was given to the Lord. The city was burned, and the special devoted things were then devoted to the Lord for use in his temple. And everything else was destroyed as a sign of their faith that God was going to give them the rest of the land. Great victory. The people of God are moving out in great victory here. And what a wonderful story this is, and a great testimony to their faith in God. But there was one problem. We're going to pick up the reading in chapter 7, verse 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. And so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. You see what happened here? One of their midst kept some of the devoted things instead of letting it be destroyed. We're told later in the story that he took it and he hid it under his tent and buried it in the ground so nobody would know where it was. The man's name was Achan. And because they had broken that covenant with God, they had taken some of the things that belonged to God as they set out to attack the next place that they were to go, which was against the city of Ai. They as they went out and attacked the city with 3,000 of their men, they thought it was going to be an easy capture. They didn't need all of their men because it wasn't that big of a city. And so they go out with 3,000 men to attack Ai. And when they met them on the battlefield, the people of Ai, they overcame the Israelites. 36 of the men were killed. And the rest of them began to run and flee for their lives. And they routed the children of Israel. And if you read the story, when this happened and the people are beginning to become afraid, and the people are wondering what in the world is going on. And Joshua himself goes into the tent and he casts them before the Lord and said, "Lord, what's happening?" And God tells him, somebody has kept some of the devoted things. Somebody has taken something there, some of the things that were to be devoted to the Lord, and Israel has been unfaithful, and because of that, God's wrath is on Israel. God had turned on Israel, and now they needed to set that right. So Joshua calls for the heads of all the tribes to come. And as they line up before him, God shows him which tribe it was. It was the tribe of Judah. And so then they had the head of every clan that was in that tribe come and stand before Joshua and the Lord. And the Lord showed him which clan it was. And so then they had the head of every family come and that clan and stand before the Lord. And the Lord took Joshua to Achan. And we're going to pick up the reading again. It's in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and they spread them out before the Lord. And then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us?" 36 men had died because of this trouble. "The Lord will bring trouble on you today." And then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. And then over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of stones, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor, which means literally trouble, ever since. Now, this is a pretty strong story, isn't it? It's this powerful story, and there's actually two lessons I think you and I need to learn, and two things we need to get from this story of Achan and Jericho, because actually after they deal with the situation, they then take an army and they go out and attack Ai again, and this time they easily oversweep them, easily conquer them, and they capture the city of Ai. God is with them again after they dealt with it. Now, it teaches us two things, I think, from the Lord's Word that we need to take seriously. One, don't take the devoted things of God to yourself. God's serious about those things. Don't profane sacred things. Things that we've dedicated to the Lord, don't profane them. They're not to be used in other ways. It might say to us too, watch what we do even with the tithe that belongs to the Lord. Don't spend it for ourselves. Because that was certainly the story here, because it was to be faith on their part that they needed. But Achan coveted it. He wanted it for himself, and so he took what belonged to the Lord. Don't take what belongs to the Lord for yourself. And we immediately think of the tithe. We immediately think of our possessions. But remember, when we became Christians, I think there's another element to it, and that is simply this. When I became a believer, I gave myself to the Lord as a devoted thing. Didn't you? Let's make sure that as we dedicate out to the Lord, as we give ourselves to the Lord, that we maintain that and don't profane it in any way. I can't then just take my life for myself because I gave it to the Lord. There's a lesson here that we need to think seriously about. what I will do with my life, with everything that God has given, because we've dedicated everything to the Lord. And it makes a difference how we use it. It's got to be used for the glory of the Lord, so that the Lord receives glory. If we give ourselves to the Lord for whatever service He's called us to, whether it's serving in your church, or whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, or whether it's to be a pastor or to be a preacher, then we don't use those things to build ourselves up and make a name for ourselves. We do it for the glory of the Lord. Amen? We use our talents, we use our gifts for His glory, not so that we can use them and strut around and show off. That would profane the dedicated thing. There's a strong lesson here when it comes to dedicated things, whether it's our possessions, our finances, or our life. Let's be sure that when we give to the Lord, it stays there. Don't profane it with other things. Now, that's one lesson, and that's a pretty strong lesson. But I want to really center more into the area of Achan, because Achan teaches us another valuable lesson that each one of us needs to learn and be aware of, and that is there is no such thing as a secret sin with God. Well, you can picture Achan. Here it is. I can take it. I'll stick it up under my clothes. Nobody will ever know. I get back to the camp. I'll bury it into the ground under my tent. And, you know, they, in those Arab tents, they're big and all, and they cover it with, I don't know what you'd call them, blankets, robes, skins, and stuff like that, and all of that. It's all well buried. Nobody can see it. Nobody will ever know it's there. And that's what Achan's thinking about. But we realize very fast in this story, there are no secret sins from God. God knows it's there. Joshua doesn't know. The people don't know. The elders don't know. Who knows? His wife may not even know. Only Achan knows, and God, that it's there. And so I want to say to you this morning, you have no secret sins. You may have been able to keep it from everybody else. You may have kept it from your spouse. You may be trying to keep it from your parents. You may be trying to keep it from your children. You may be trying to keep it from the church so they don't know about it. But I got to tell you this morning, God knows. Amen? He knows. And He won't let it stand. He will deal with it in our lives. You can't keep it secret from God. There are no secrets. He's the one that even knows the thoughts in our head. Where can I go to hide from the Lord? The psalmist says, if I make my bed in hell, He sees me. Now, it seems to me that you and I are pretty good at trying to hide our sin, isn't it? We're not bad at it. It always seems to find us out in the end. And that's what happened to Achan. Remember, there's a passage in Scripture says, be sure your sins will find you out. If not on in this life, but certainly on the day of judgment when everything will be revealed. You know, when they play back that tape of your life, it'll come to life there, but God knows it even now. And we find from the story of Achan that it causes problems in the life of Israel. And in Achan's life, even though nobody knew about it, God knew. And it changed the way God worked with His people. We can't hide our sin. The only thing we can do with our sin, even those sins that we think are hidden, is confess them to the Lord. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to put it away. Oh, the whole camp doesn't need to know what they are, but you need to confess it to God and let God deal with it, because if the camp knows, it'll lead us all into open sin then, probably, because we'll be talking about it, and then that'll lead us into open sin. And then we'll be in the place that happens here where we can't function because God will be, it'll bring bad things into the camp. You can't hide. There's no place to hide with God. Now, I've shared with you before, I can remember getting spanked before when I was a kid for something I didn't do. You ever had that happen to you? My brother did it. I didn't do it. I'm the one that got spanked. It was your great-grandfather, your grandfather that did it, Owen. I'm not the one that did it. He did it. And I got spanked for it. I was the oldest. But you know what? You can hide things from your dad. And I always figured this. I never complained. Because there were plenty of things I could have gotten spanked for that they never found out about, and I never did get punished for. So I figured I was way ahead of the game. So I didn't complain about it. And I'm sure that's true for all of us. You know, we're able to hide some things, and we don't get caught. You know, we're able to hide it from our parents, and there's plenty that we do that we should get in trouble for, and we never got in trouble for it. And so we're all way ahead of the game when it comes to that in a physical way. But you know what? We'll never get away with it before God. He will always know. We can hide it deep under the tent. We can cover it up. And he will know. And he will deal with it. You can't hide. And so I want to say to you this morning, I think the thrust of the message this morning is simply this. You need to confess secret sins to the Lord. And here's the amazing thing about the gospel. You know, in this story, Achan confesses it. Of course, he's caught, but he does confess it, and he says, yes, I did do this, and he tells him what he did, and he does confess it before the Lord, and maybe that'll mean that he'll be forgiven down the road there, but he has to pay the price of it, and he pays the price with his life. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so Achan and his whole family pays the price. They're all taken out and they're all stoned. But here's the good news of the gospel to you this morning. If you'll confess those hidden sins to God, you don't have to be taken out and stoned because somebody else already died for you. Someone else was already killed on your behalf. Jesus died for you. He took the place. He took the punishment. And as we confess those sins to the Lord, he forgives us and he gives us grace. In fact, he's wiped it clean, the Bible says. You know, there was most of us are old enough, or not all of us, but a lot of us are old enough. You guys aren't. But you've probably heard about it. Most all of us have heard at least about Watergate and President Nixon and everything take place, and some of us lived through that time. You'll remember there was a tape that had actually was a recording with Nixon giving the directions or the order for that. The Watergate thing, and Walter Cronkite, the great newscaster for years, and the one that everybody listened to on his show, he was going to play the tape. You remember that? And so national television, everybody's tuned in. They played the tape. You remember what we heard? Absolutely nothing. His secretary had erased the tape. We sat there and listened to nothing. The secretary had erased the tape. Now, that's a good secretary. Amy, you remember that. You're our secretary, okay? There you go. They erased the tape. We heard nothing. You know what? I always figured when we stand before God and we give an accounting of our life, the Bible says the books are going to be opened. And everything that we've ever done is going to be played back. And that's a horrible thing to think about. All the secret sins, they're going to be there. They're going to be played back. And your mother is going to be there. That's the scary part, isn't it? You don't want your mom to know about all that stuff. Good news. Your tape's been erased. Somebody else took our place. And he's erased it. And he says, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. And they'll never be remembered anymore. And when we stand before God, we'll have an erased tape because somebody died for us. And he took our sin. Achan had to die for his sin. But we have one who has already died. Listen to me this morning. Those secret sins that are in your life, that you've been hiding from everybody else, God will take into account because he knows you need to confess it and give it to the Lord. And you need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood shed on the cross to forgive and cleanse. He took your place. Give it to him. Allow the Lord to forgive. Allow the Lord to cleanse. And you know, after it was dealt with here, Israel was once again victorious. They could march again with the full blessing of the Lord. And when we place it there, and the atonement of Christ, his death covers that sin, we can begin to live and march in victory again. And the guilt's gone. Because it's been dealt with. You know, there's always new life when things are dealt with. You know, the worst time when you were a kid and you had done something wrong and it was kind of hidden, but you knew it was going to be found. Do you remember what that time period between the time they found out and you doing it was like? Oh, the guilt. The guilt was horrible. You felt guilty, you know, or maybe your mother had said to you, well, wait till your father comes home. Well, okay, that time period is a miserable way to live, isn't it? While you're waiting because you know something's going to happen. But you know, here's the interesting thing. Once you'd gotten the spanking, once it had been dealt with, life became alive again. You could live again. And that's the way it is with those secret sins. Give them to the Lord. Don't try to hide them. That's a miserable way to have to live your life. Worrying about whether somebody's going to find out or whether it's going to be exposed or not. Instead, just come and lay it before the Lord. And let the one who died on your behalf, let him deal with it. And it'll make life good again. And the blessing of the Lord will be in your life again. I'm going to ask Beth to come. I'm going to say a prayer in a moment. We'll sing a last song. Yeah, Ruthie, you come too. And it may be this morning that the Lord's putting his finger, we'll ask the Holy Spirit, that he's putting his finger on a particular thing in your life that you've been hiding from everybody. But you know it's there. And you felt guilty about it, but you've kind of kept it hidden under the tent. Nobody else knows, but God does. And you know what? It would be a great relief to you if you just came and confessed it to the Lord. Let the atoning blood of Jesus Christ atone for it. He'll take away the guilt, and he'll set you free from it. Now's the time to deal with it. It'll make a difference in your life. And so as we stand and sing here in just a moment after we have a prayer, why don't you let it go? Why don't you just confess it to the Lord and let his grace forgive you and cleanse you? and give you a whole new life again. Give your life back to you. You won't have to worry about it anymore. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, put your finger in our lives. Put it on that spot that it needs to be at in our lives. That secret sin, Lord, that nobody knows, we've hidden it well. But you do. Holy Spirit, as we confess it to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're thankful that Jesus died for us. May we avail ourselves of his grace and his mercy, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. If you need to deal with the Lord, this altars are open. You come and let the Lord deal with something in your life. You come. Don't hang on to it anymore.
Page 187. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I invite you to come, folks. Listen carefully, everybody. If somebody comes or if people are coming to deal, don't come down and pray with them. We don't need to know. Let them just give it to the Lord, okay? I mean, a lot of times we come down, we pray, we try to help people. But this is something we do before the Lord ourselves. It needs to stay between us and the Lord. Just be praying for them. Let them deal with the Lord. The Holy Spirit's capable of dealing with things. And if he's putting it on somebody's heart, let him pray. We don't have to know. We don't need to know. We invite you to come. This is your chance. This is an opportunity for you. We're going to sing one more verse. You come if you need to deal with the Lord.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're going to have prayer and we're going to end the service. It dawned on me while I was standing there. Sometimes our secret sin is that the Lord's speaking to our heart and we don't listen. Nobody else knows where the Lord's speaking. And we just don't listen. To him sometimes. Maybe it's fear, whatever. But let me say this to you. That if you have something in your life, you can deal with it any time. If the Lord speaks, and pray. Confess it to him. It doesn't have to be at an altar. And you'll find his grace available. And you'll find that God will meet you there. And that God will relieve that burden. So if you're carrying that kind of a burden this morning, deal with it sometime here. Doesn't have to be down here. But don't leave it. It'll bring destruction into your life. And you'll have a burden that you don't have to carry. Just give it to him, okay? Lord in heaven, we're so thankful for your presence. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you do know, and yet, Lord, you paid the price of it, Lord, so that we can have grace and forgiveness. Continue to speak to our hearts, we pray. And Lord, as we're willing to speak to you, even if it's in the quiet of our room, Lord, May your Holy Spirit bring relief. May he bring grace. May he point us to the cross and the Christ who died for us there. And Lord, may he lift the burdens that are in our hearts. And may he wash it white as snow. Father, be with us on through this day. May your Spirit continue to strive and work in our hearts and lives as we enter into the services throughout the day. And Lord, we just pray that the Spirit will move in a powerful way in each of our hearts through the day. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Go in peace and grace this morning. Be friendly and nice to each other, especially your president. Right? And your song leader. We'll put you in there too. As I love you. Bless you. Yeah.